sort of more of a holistic and Aquarian hippie type of approach to esoteric Christianity. So The Quiet World in 1970 did a prog rock opera called The Road, based on the Aquarian Gospel. I believe this features Steve Hackett, who later went on to join Genesis in the Phil Collins years. So we're going to have a listen, and that will be it for me. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at wfmu.org.
Traveler, sing a song. Everybody has their own song. Let them sing it. Let everybody sing their song. Let everybody sing their song. Let everybody sing their own song. Let them sing. Let everybody sing their own song. Let them sing.
Sing, sing songs that you wanna sing. You want to sing, feel the music turn around. In your own house.
could sit and talk for hours. You needn't go away.
Let's go on, son.
You needn't go away.
Let's go on, son.
You needn't go away. Thank you.
are tuned to Morricone Island on WFMU. I'm your host, Devin Levins, every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. playing the soundtrack hits. This week is no exception. We have special guests joining us, a South Korean composer and guitarist, Byung-Woo Lee, and we'll be discussing his upcoming New York City debut at the Town Hall in Times Square on 43rd Street. And that will be coming up this Saturday, April 20th. And it's being billed as the double feature. It consists of a guitar concert performance, which will be followed by a live film scoring of Bong Joon-ho's 2009 masterpiece, Mother. Lee has scored well over 20-plus films, including many of South Korea's most beloved and highest-grossing films to date, including The Host, that's also Bong Joon-ho's film from 2006, and A Tale of Two Sisters, two of the big ones there. And also joining us is Lee's mentor and Johns Hopkins University Guitar Department Chair, that's a mouthful, Julian Gray. He'll be joining the discussion as well. So welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you very much, Dan.
So this seems to be very exciting. It's going to be your New York City debut, as I understand it. How did the Town Hall concert materialize, and how did it become a double feature where you do both a film score and take on a live concert in the beginning?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable for me just to be there. The company representing me in New York, known as Next to Silence, nice name, and collaborate with the Town Hall to organize this performance. Actually, the plan was to just allocate 2 days for the events, like one for my solo concert and the other for just live performance of film scores. But as this just marks my debut in New York and both performance requires an orchestra, so we just concluded that just combining these elements into a single event was both economical and practical. So I think that's a great idea. And this just double features come from that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. How did Mother become the film that you decided to live score?
Well, you know, director Bong Joon-ho, he's like the most famous in these days. He's like the hottest guys in the world. And among his film that I've composed for, The Host is particularly popular with American audience. But I heard recently that just a French company bought up all the rights to The Host, except for the music. Because it's just music right. I have music rights, I think. They're going to call me. I don't know.
They may be coming to speak with you soon. Yeah, The Host is very popular in the United States too, being remade.
Yeah, we just decide that Mother is really just cherished among movie buffs, even though it's a bit heavy. But I thought it was totally worth performing in New York, the city of artists, you know?
Yes.
So... yeah, that's how we just started. And luckily, the film producers were on board. So we went ahead with the project. Yeah.
To like maybe some of the American audiences who are unfamiliar with Mother, they probably do know The Host. And also, I guess, some of Bong Joon-ho's more recent films like Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
And which was, I guess, an English language film. And made into a TV show, as well as Parasite, which won all kinds of awards all over the world. Maybe for those listeners who are unfamiliar with it, can you describe just briefly what the film is about?
Yeah, The Mother is a story about a mother who scrambles to clear her son's name after he just gets entangled in a murder case. I will save the rest of the story of it for those who plan to watch the movie. So.
Yeah. Is this the first time you've ever performed the film as a live score? Have you performed live scores before? And
this is my first time, yeah. And usually I record, if possible, I don't use like the click that much, you know, the click, the metronome, you know, how to say that. Yeah. But this time, it's ironically, everything it should be synchronized with click. Oh. So this is really... unfamiliar with me, but it's also like new experience.
Do you enjoy that experience, like the difference, I guess, than just recording for film? without having to perform it live for in an audience setting.
We haven't had rehearsal yet, but so it's gonna be, you know, I'll tell you like next show or sometime or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a chance, I call you, hey Devin, you know.
Yeah.
It's way better just like, you know, to play with the click.
And are you doing it as written for the score, or did you have to expand because of, I don't know?
Yeah, we're performing the music exactly as it was.
Exactly.
Just written for the film, because, I mean, when the music meets some visual stuff, and it sometimes it just defined, you know, I don't know exactly the word, but it has so much meaning. So just we just do what the director Bong Joon-ho decided as it was, yeah.
Yeah, the music's very important from the very intro scene, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've kind of, you know, whenever the movie I've worked on just released, I was kind of a surprise the result of their editing music or something sometimes. But, you know, that's the how they do, you know.
Yeah, you can't control it.
Yeah, no.
You know, it was really interesting for me because I just recently rewatched the movie. And I thought, I mean, the use of music in the film is really brilliant. I mean, after that kind of iconic scene, Devin, you were mentioning the opening scene of that movie.
Scene, yeah.
Just that incredible grassland that the mother's walking through, and then she does that sort of desperate dance. And Byung-woo, with your incredible guitar playing over the orchestra. I mean, one of the things that I love about your playing in that first track is the way that you place the really important melodic notes just slightly hesitating for where the beat is going to be, like the high notes of the phrases.
Yeah.
And it's really masterful because, I mean, you do it perfectly, but that's so difficult to get that kind of really elegant Urkel rubato, but also just the sort of the pent up emotion.
Thank you very much. You
know. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. One of the things that just struck me in the film is that there are long stretches in the movie where there isn't music. And then you know, at very important kind of junctures. And as a matter of fact, it just sort of also struck me that the second half of the movie has more music than the first half, where the mother is starting to investigate and try and find out what exactly is going on. I think, and also not to get too technical, but Byung-woo, I love the way, like in the very first harmonics, you play like the G and the E, and you go back from G to E, which is sort of like E minor, and then you play that F sharp, which is really disquieting and really dissonant. And then the last time I watched it, I was thinking more along the line of what you were doing with the score. But correct me if I'm wrong here, but I mean, you really use that F sharp as like a wedge note throughout the whole film. I thought it was just really ingenious and brilliant, the way that you weaved the harmonics into the sort of the harmonic structure, the chord structure of the film.
Thank you so much. That's very nice of you to say that. I'm so happy that you enjoyed that kind of, you know, the idea. Well, to be honest, we worked like really huge range of music from the like Renaissance till like modern music or something. But whenever I jumped into the film composition, every music suits every film. So there is no right answer. Even if it's very, like, even very simple melody, just after 3 hours or something, it sounds like that melody is just were born to be that film or so, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I find it's amazing that our ear is so, like, friendly, whatever it heard. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of difficult to explain, but that's the magical moment for me, just to work with the visual stuff. So it's nothing could do everything sometimes, you know? So the reason I'm talking about this is you were talking about, you know, the kind of long shots without music in that film, yeah? But I have to compose just as much as I can because I get paid, you know? That's my job. But sometimes, you know, without music, that brings more to me. Maybe because I'm a musician, so I'm so used to hear the all kind of music, but sometimes without music, it tells me more than with music. I shouldn't say that, but sorry.
And the juxtaposition between them, because, you know, after that traumatic scene where the son remembers, there's a traumatic scene. But right after that, where there's some pretty high emotion, comes like one of the most beautiful parts of the score when she's riding away. That incredibly beautiful song, and just the juxtaposition is really amazing.
Yeah, I feel like silence is just as important as, you know, the music at times. You know, sometimes you don't want them to know how they should feel. You know, sometimes there's a counterpoint that's the opposite of how somebody should feel, like the lullaby in a creepy, like Rosemary's Baby or something like that, you know, like a little a child singing or something, versus, you know, the drones that get louder and louder to tell you like some tension's coming. Mm-hmm. But like I wouldn't describe this. A lot of Bong Joon-ho's films are kind of described as dark comedies. I don't know if this one is per se. Like most of them, I guess there's comedic sections or whatever, but I know known for their dark comedies, like the Coen brothers, Carter Burwell, who composes, I think, nearly all of that music. He's very much a minimalist, you know, where I think he feels like less is more. So sometimes letting it breathe and not knocking people over the head with how they should feel is the right way to go. But I think that this film was scored masterfully, you know, and it's nice that like that intro theme, you know, it's so different from maybe the tone of what's to come, you know, but it sort of sets the stage for it all. So this was your third collaboration, right, with Bong Joon-ho at this point?
Right. Yeah, first one was The Host, and then there was Tokyo as an omnibus project with the director Bong Joon-ho with like two Frenchie. I can't remember their name.
Leo Carax.
Leo Carax or something. Carax.
Yeah, and Michelle Gondry, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen all three of those for sure. But so this was your third. And so how did you meet? How did you get involved with The Host in the first place?
That's really, it's kind of a hilarious story. I was out of Korea from my like mid-20s till mid-30s. And before I left, I had released two popular albums and one, the guitar solo album. I believe the director Bong Joon-ho liked my music. And furthermore, he used it in one of his films without my permission. Okay. Yeah. Well, and luckily or unluckily, when we met like by chance later, he apologized and asked if I could make some score for his next film. And that film turned out The Host. So that's how we began. Yeah.
And that was a big film internationally.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But at the time, just they're not sure about they have like some computer graphic issues or something. So they were not sure it's going to be successful or not. Yeah.
But at that point, you had composed a number of films. So he was attracted to your solo album, not necessarily. Was he familiar with your prior film scoring that you had done at that point?
Yeah, actually, you know, until my fourth film, it was not successful. But from the like fourth, it just got really big. I don't know, but I think it's more just because of he's using my music without my permission.
It was a makeup.
He's guilty.
Yeah. Makeup gesture.
He owes you. Right. Is he the type of director that's working closely with you with the music, or does he leave you to your own devices, going back and forth and collaborating with you, or does he let you compose on your own?
Yeah. He believed me like totally, 100%. I think he liked the score a lot. That's why I'm thinking still.
Keeps coming back, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Like The Host, was it temped with some of your music or anything? Like your prior music?
No.
None of your... So you weren't battling that problem.
Yeah. No. No, but temp, they're only... You know, go back to the opening of The Mother, where the like mother dances in the field. They had the reference music for filming. You know, yeah, because they have some music to film that scene.
Yeah,
you know?
They need it.
And it was kind of Latin music. And I just kept the tempo. And then I just composed all other things. But luckily, you know, I'm a big fan of like the old, like 50s, 60s, the Latin American music. It's so romantic for me. It's so musical. I just approach it happily. Then I just put some like, the meaning when she danced, when she raised her hand, the pitch goes on. It's like collaborating some, I don't want to say that's Mickey Mousing or something, but it's kind of, you know what I'm saying, the synchronized with like the motion.
So my understanding is in I guess your 20s you were living in the United States in Baltimore.
Yeah, that was my 30s.
Or your 30s.
And in the 20s and beginning of the 30s, yeah.
And so how did you and Julian meet?
Well, I always, you know, my plan is out of track or something. It turns out like I had gone to the Vienna, Austria. I planned a year to stay there, but just it turned into 5.5 years. Then in the United States, I planned a year. I didn't tell you, Julian, but I planned the year. That was my budget. Whole budget was like that. But I was really lucky, you know. It turned into 4 years.
Yeah, four. Yeah, that's right.
Four years. Yeah. And with Julian, you know, I learned so much, not only guitar playing, but also like what I can say, all kind of, you know, valuable, just meaning of life. For instance, beautiful errands and chores. I don't know if this expression just works for you, but everything was really wonderful and successful as a like a student.
So you got accepted, like you applied for and accepted down in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins University. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's how they do school business.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, and the conservatory where Byung-woo and I were working together is the Peabody Conservatory, which is a division of Johns Hopkins, but it's sort of like a, you know, it's its own music division.
Institute, yeah.
Yeah, and you were asking, Devin, like how we first met. And Byung-woo, you had auditioned remotely, right? You didn't come to audition yet because you were in Vienna, so we actually hadn't, you know, physically met. And also remember, this is before Zoom and
'90s,
and all of that technology.
Right.
Yeah. Byung-woo and I were just talking about this a few months ago on the phone. But so the first time we physically met was at our first lesson in my studio at Peabody, and you know, Byung-woo came in. I mean, I already knew he was an incredible guitar player from the recording. I mean, we really hit it off like from the very first day. And I mean, I could tell, I didn't know at that point, Byung-woo, that we were only going to do a year, but I knew that it was going to be wonderful work. And then, so we did our lesson, Byung-woo left, and my studio is on the second floor. So it overlooks a central plaza that the buildings of Peabody surround, so to speak. And so I was teaching the next lesson, and I was sort of standing up and, you know, listening to the student. But I just happened to look out the window, and I saw Byung-woo, the, you know, wonderful young gentleman I just met. And he was standing in the plaza, and he was surrounded by 50 young ladies who were giggling and jumping up and down. And they were, Byung-woo was like in the middle of this. And with the student I was teaching, I said, come over here. I said, look, I mean, there's, you know, a new student, Byung-woo Lee. And I said, do you know what that's about? And then my student went, oh, he's like really famous in South Korea. And Byung-woo, you were mentioning, you know, the two albums that you released before you went to Austria. So anyway, there was like this huge group of, as I say, of young ladies who couldn't have been more excited that Byung-woo was joining the Peabody community. So that was my first day knowing Byung-woo.
Well, as far as my memory goes, I think there was some meeting or something, events for like a Korean student community or something.
Oh, okay.
And you just saw me by chance when I was just in the middle of them. So that's kind of misunderstanding, you know.
I think you're being modest, but
yeah,
maybe that's true what you're saying, but they seem pretty excited to see you, yes.
So your earlier records were pretty well known in South Korea, correct?
Yeah. Actually, me and my partner, we just released two albums, popular music albums, and which was kind of, you know, modern rock genre, just 80s. At the time, you know, in Korea is really, it's about to open, you know, there was a like Olympic Games or something. But before Olympic Games, you know, is kind of, you know, they don't know that much about Korea or something. And when we released that album, we didn't do anything, and I left Korea. But like slowly, people liked that music, and they wanted to see us, but I was not there. And they're kind of, you know, mysterious. You want somebody, then you cannot. They have more fantasy, you know?
Right.
So that's how the two albums is really popular in Korea.
Is this the band, like your duo Someday?
Yeah, right.
The translation of it? Yeah.
Yeah. And we never had a like concert on like something. So that's famous for that.
Thank you.
So then after 4 years, you went back. Was that the plan, to go back to Korea after you got the degrees?
Yeah. Honestly, I never imagined I would end up composing for films. Just I got a call and out of blue and asking if I'd like to give it a try or something. So that's how I started the film music. Yeah.
And you had to just learn on your own, it sounds like, right? You didn't go to a film scoring program or anything like that. You had to just figure it out.
No, not really. But because, you know, I have like background as a like popular musician and also classical musician. So it's kind of easy to cook like something the director asked. Also, you know, when I played with orchestra, I learned the real thing of orchestra. You know, it's very different between the like sample library. Like these days they do like a computer, all the computer sound, you know, do, which is also great. Yeah. But the real orchestra has like, it's something really alive, and there are so many like articulation and phrase going on. And yeah, it's really different. Very different. So I really love to just perform like live, just live music to put on the film, and which is really great. But these days it's been changing a little bit. I think everything is like with the click. I wouldn't say that's good or bad, you know, it's just different.
Rhythm in music, when it's being created in real time, the responsiveness changes kind of the rhythmic tensility of both the relationship of the beats to each other and then also the relationship of the parts to each other, because there really is this sense of, you know, you're listening and you're anticipating, but you're also placing the sounds that you're making with other people. And that's going to, as I say, that's going to just change the whole rhythmic scansion of the piece. Could I ask a question? I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but you have such a, you know, like a broad and eclectic experience of music, from classical through and popular music. And I'm just curious, and maybe there's no answer to this, but were there any or are there any particular classical guitar pieces that either because of the textures or techniques that they used, or even just, you know, the musical atmosphere that you've used in your film scoring?
Well,
and I don't mean quoting, I mean just your relationship to the guitar.
Well, you can easily find from my music, there are a lot of like the quarter harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guitar, the like tuning is like the fourth, yeah? Right. So I really love, you know, it's very comfy. With that harmony, I just can extend advantage more. But I was very inspired the guitar piece. Like, I'm not a big fan of like the atonal music or something, but we all know the beautiful piece by the Hans Werner Henze, the Drei Tentos.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. They're the small guitar pieces, I think, really whenever I just play that piece, oh, this is kind of, you know, film music or something, you know, it's like
very
effectable and,
And very evocative. And it does use a lot of harmonies built in fourths, as you were saying.
Hence, it's like maybe one thing that I really just very inspired. Yeah.
Some of your music in A Tale of Two Sisters, that gets very atonal, right? Yeah, very dissonant and gets atonal at times and like very different from...
It's kind of contrast between like the mellow, beautiful, the theme of the... The main theme is, you know, you told me the lullaby, that's...
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, it's also like contrast with like the film.
The other... The
and
rest of
also
it.
Because of that kind of horror film, you know, I have to do something I should do for that. Yeah.
Just by the promo photo that Town Hall has up, and if you YouTube you and your performances, the listeners and your fans are going to see that you have very often very unique looking guitars, sometimes double necked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that you design those, that you're the designer. Is that correct?
Yeah. I designed for that kind of guitars. You know, the starting point was I've been playing guitar for all my life. While all instruments have evolved to produce the beautiful sounds, there has been as much advanced technique when it comes to like the posture. And so, which means the more you play an instrument, the worse. Mm-hmm. So I had really difficult time to, whenever I practice, the right guitar posture, so to speak, it was like not right for me. If you play electric guitar, there is a like guitar effects. It's called like compressor. Yeah. Compressor. And there is a like a knob. It's called threshold. That's kind of point. If you pass that threshold, the compressor works and just vice versa or something. So I thought, you know, if I practice too much, the threshold works some level, then it's time to go to doctor. So I have to just reduce that, you know, that moment. So, which means, you know, I need another guitar or another, the other posture to practice. So, which is not right classical guitar posture. Okay. So that's the ideas like I developed one by one. But afterward, I came up to like a stick just with the guitar strings. So, which is really uncomfy to practice. But that was like really important for me, just for myself. Since I practice with that, I'm kind of, you know, always like near the threshold, but not just over the threshold. That's how my just design, it start like that. And the guitar currently I use is they have both sides. The one side is for nylon strings, the opposite side for steel string guitars. That's because I really love guitar. I have so many guitars. And one time, you know, when I was in Baltimore, I had a concert. I was ready to go out. And all of a sudden, the alarm rang very loudly. it was fire on that building. So my flat was like 9th floor or something. Because I have a concert, you know, I just grabbed my guitar and I couldn't use the elevator. It was stopped, you know. And every people on that building, they were escaped from the stairs or something. So when I was like with my guitar, 8th floor, I realized that I should have brought one more guitar or something. So I just like upstairs and I got my, there's another guitar and just, that was like really bad memory, bad experiences. So I, that's how I started this both side of guitars, you know.
Will you flip it in the same song, like same piece of music or no?
Sometimes, sometimes.
Going from nylon to steel string.
Yeah, yeah. But I haven't developed that much, like really good, but I started, I just started. Yeah.
Is it a problem having the sound holes on both sides, like resonance-wise or anything? Is it, you don't hear much of a difference?
I wouldn't say that's bad.
Yeah.
That's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. And these days, you know, all the guitarists, so many musicians, they use like the amplifier microphone. And I never had a really good experience with amplifier with my classical guitar. Hmm. It sounds really not familiar. My guitar had like the pickup, mm-hmm. both side pickup. And I use pickup for the amplifier. And I use the microphone just to get balance like between.
Are you building these or is someone building them for
you?
No.
Luckily, I met like really beautiful like guitar luthier in Korea. He's my same age and he's always, you know, loved my idea. And yeah,
you work
we
closely.
Just collaborate. Yeah.
What's that person's name?
Oh, his name is So Min-seok. Okay. So Min-seok, yeah. He's wonderful. And his guitar, normal classical guitar, sounds really wonderful. Yeah,
they're very interesting looking. And I've, you know, I obviously watched
Do you play guitar? You play guitar?
Yeah, that's my primary instrument.
Oh, okay.
Oh really? Wow, wonderful.
Not classical, but...
Oh, me electric guitar?
Electric and acoustic. I come a little bit from a jazz background and a rock background and...
Yeah, and you know, the school I went, the Peabody Conservatory, it was like used to be a really 100% classical music school. I think it's been changed now, right, Julian?
They have an incredible jazz program now.
Okay.
And there are a number of jazz guitarists now. So yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, well, a number of conservatories, but I mean, Peabody's been very forward thinking. Mm-hmm. They have like a new media program, computer music. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, definitely the existence of the 21st century has been acknowledged in the curriculum at Peabody. So, I mean, and that's been a really positive development. I
took the class, computer music class when I was in Peabody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were really great. Yeah. And also, I remember this is really beautiful. And I was so happy that one day, Julian, usually his like bag was really bulky. A lot of CDs in there. It's like he has some like a CD selling business or something. It's really, you know, the leather, the bags. Just whenever we had like some like musical idea, he just demonstrate just with guitars and one of the CDs from his bag or something, you know. And one day, there was a like rap class, or I don't know exactly that was rap class or something. Sometimes he plays some music and we just talk about, you know, what the musicality and what is the advantage and disadvantage of that music or something. But all of a sudden, he plays a blues electric guitar and I was shocked. And we talked about, that was like Steve Ray Vaughan, the Texas blues. Can you remember
it? It was Texas Julian? Blues, but all, yeah, well, it, and it was his performance of Little Wing, which is one of the, I mean, if I had to pick top 10 any style guitar performance, Stevie Ray Vaughan doing Little Wing would be there, like no question. Well, because, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it was a classical guitar studio. However, A musical impulse of genius in any style is going to help to inform and develop young talent. And I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan's performance, yeah, I think it was Little Wing, although maybe we got into it and went on to the Texas Blues from there. But yeah, I mean, I use jazz performances and acoustic guitar mm-hmm. performances too, still, yeah, in our performance class, yeah.
For me, it was really one of the beautiful memory that I just mm-hmm. go back to my mm-hmm. just school days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that your first film scoring opportunity, was that Three Friends in 1995, 96?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was like in between the Vienna City,
yeah.
Vienna, and to the United States, yeah.
So when you got that first opportunity, were you leaning heavily on like what you learned, like your classical background or your rock background, or kind of a combination?
For that film, The Three Friends, is they just asked two pieces of guitar music. Oh. So it was a really kind of simple job, yeah, the yeah, guitar yeah. solo. And also I did another movie. The other one is the main character. His name is Lee Byung-hun, and he's really popular these days. You know, he became a world star. That was like with like band music style, drum machine and oboe expander.
Like, who were your influences, would you say, for when you're composing for film or even in your younger days? What inspired you to get to do film music? And
you know, I really loved, you know, all kind of music, especially I really loved slow music, slow movement. I don't know, because, you know, my just character is kind of slow, but with slow music, I can breathe more. I feel like I'm relieved and grab my sleeves into where beautiful air. When I just buy a CD, like classical and every stuff, I just look at the movement when I just lento or andante or something. I just start with that music. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my just taste. Yeah. Also, you know, when I just record my music with orchestra, when it comes to like the slow music, you know, we use always with the mute, the violin player, they just mute the strings in Italian, like consordino or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds very dark and, you know, oh, you know, maybe that comes from like the Italian composer Morricone, Ennio Morricone. I think he is really special, just special talent for, you know, that kind of, you know, nostalgia and, you know, that kind of music. Yeah, I love his music a lot.
I recall this from, you know, a number of years ago, but I rewatched it, the opening ceremony when the Olympics were in Korea in 2018. Pyeongchang.
Oh yeah,
uh-huh. And your piece of music all of a sudden was choreographed as part of that yeah. ceremony.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume that piece of music is very well known in Korea, but mm-hmm. it must have been a huge honor to have any piece of your music, you know, incorporated and representing yeah. the country. You know, yeah. How did that come about, and how did it feel? And
well, after the big hit of The Host, you know, mm-hmm. in Korea, the music became also very popular. And since that time, just they still use that kind of music, my music, as a, like the commercial, like when people just hear that music, then, that's a host, you know, and everybody seems to me just very happy, you know, with that music.
Yeah.
The reason was for me at the time when we make the music for Host, The Host was kind of a big budget movie in Korea at the time. So people expect Hollywood-like score or something, but budget was very limited. And the music that I composed is based on the rhythm. It's called bongjak in Korean, bongjak. That's kind of old generation music, and it is undergraded. The music was very undergraded because the singer was... They're typically their way to like the embellishment. They exaggerate every like note. So the young people, my generation, is like, oh, that's not for us or something. Yeah, yeah. They really want to hear like Beatles and like Western culture move instead of that.
Yeah.
So when I make the movie, to, I go back to the film music. I just suggest, yeah, let's try this kind of music in the movie. So there was a moment that director Bong Joon-ho, he had some pause, you know. He was very deciding, you know. But that kind of control, the idea, it really works very well in that movie. So that was kind of very successful. So that's how I just put this social culture thing on the cover.
Your most well-known piece of music in Korea?
In Korea, yeah.
Yeah, taken on a life of its own once it's incorporated into the Olympics, like the biggest platform in the world. I mean, that puts you in the ranks of Morricone and John Williams and Vangelis, all these film composers who have written for, had their music incorporated into the Olympic ceremonies, which is a huge honor and great feeling.
That must be a very interesting feeling to have something that you've created to become part of kind of the national fabric of your country.
Yeah.
It's
like the Star Wars theme or the Rocky theme for us in the United States.
But we had like four composers to compose for the opening and closing ceremony. One is for the specialty for like traditional music and... Yeah, they have their own like the specialty. So yeah, it was not that, you know, just stressful or something. We really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Super excited to see that you're doing a live film score for Mother. I mean, it's an incredible film for anybody that's never seen it just on its own. And then the power of hearing the music performed live with an orchestra and you performing as well, the composer as part of the orchestra, it's going to be an incredible experience. And I implore all of our listeners to go and get what limited seats remain. Do you have any plans to do it elsewhere?
After Council, I go back to Seoul, and in May, I have collaborations with an orchestra lined up, followed by the creating ballet music for the first time. You know, I'm planning to debut an electric guitar performance also. Mm. You know? And I'm currently just brainstorming a book about the guitars with Julian.
Oh, really?
Can I, Julian?
Yes, you can mention that. That will be fun.
I'm Julian, and he's my mentor and just friend. And he's moving library, I think.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention, you know, Byung, you mentioned a while ago in this interview the fact that, you know, it was your job to write music. And one of the things that I would just encourage your fans and people who love Mother and your music in that, your recording of that music, I mean, it also includes music that's not in the film, right?
There is like one or two tracks it was not in the...
Right, yeah. And they're beautiful. And when I was looking at watching the movie and then thinking about the recording, it's kind of like on the waterfront where Leonard Bernstein wrote music for that film, but some of it, you know, for whatever reason, It was all great, but for whatever reason, it wasn't utilized in the film. So when you hear the suite of On the Waterfront done by orchestras, you know, there's music that you would never hear in the film. And I think, and there's just some beautiful music that you've composed. You know, obviously a lot of it is in the film, but it's really great. It feels like bonus tracks when you listen to the recording of Mother. Yeah.
The music, ironically, that was my favorite music, but it was not in the film. Mm-hmm. Maybe they added like the short part of that music. Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
Full whole piece, it's just like in bonus track. Yeah. I'm so happy you mentioned that. You know, I'm so, wow.
So, oh yeah, there's some great music there. Well, and I guess that's typically what happens, right? I mean,
you sometimes see the soundtrack say music for and inspired by such and such motion picture, and it's that not everything. Just sometimes it just doesn't work, or the director doesn't think it fits, or they had a different piece that they used. Right. But the composer gets so attached to it, you know, and they see it through. And sometimes that's some of the best music that comes out of these projects.
Well, and in the same way, you know, we buy the director's cut of a movie. So this is like the composer's cut of the score.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Composer's cut. Right. Wow. Wow. Thank you.
Well, look forward to seeing the performance, and look forward to seeing what's next in your scoring world and non-score and film scoring world, what's to come. And I hope that you get to perform it in many places just besides New York, so the whole world gets to see this and experience the music in a live setting with orchestra and the composer in tandem with the visuals. There's nothing better than that experience, in my opinion, you know.
I'm very excited. Thank you very much.
And thank you both for coming on the show.
Devin, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great for you. And yeah.
WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, broadcasting at 91.9 FM in New York City and Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org.